Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Following his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus went to the temple to cleanse it from the money changers that were exploiting God's people. He rebuked the religious leaders for their fruitless lives. They were going through the motions of observing a religious holiday, but their hearts were far from God. Jesus did not come to be a religious supplement to our lives. He came to be our Savior and Lord. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 19.
No commentary or commentator tells you what the whole Bible says. Some of you, dear people, have bought me books, thank God, to help me. And believe me, I need a whole lot of help and a whole lot of prayer. But at the end of their systematic theology books, there's always a section, what we do with scriptures that are difficult. Why are they difficult? Because they don't fit in with their system of theology. You want to know what the Bible says about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, about the second coming, about family, about gender? Read the Bible. Just read the Bible. You know why a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or a name-a-ism? You know the Bible is anti-ism? You know why any ism, it's important that they get their literature in your hands? I'll tell you why. You would never come to their harebrained, unbiblical conclusions if you just read the Bible. So when someone hands you a watchtower, you give them a Bible. Someone hands you a Book of Mormon, you give them a Bible. Someone hands you a Quran, you give them a Bible. Somebody hands you a Hindu scriptures, you give them a Bible. Here, this is what I believe. Boy, I'm going to get an email tomorrow. I'm going to change it overnight. Is it warm up here or what? And so, Matthew, you know, what I love about studying the Gospels is that you have to have all of them come together, right? It's kind of, did you ever watch the cable news networks? You've got CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and then pick a fourth one, whatever. Okay, and you sometimes want to go, are they all talking about the same thing? But there's a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture that is formed when you put all of the Gospels together. Matthew tells us that when Jesus was come near Jerusalem in chapter 21, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And so in verse 11, Jesus enters into Jerusalem, goes into the temple, looks around, and it's evening, and then he's going to go out. But I want you to see what Matthew tells us Jesus does when he's in the temple. In Matthew 21, verses 14 through 16, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." I mean, we don't do things like that at church. Not in this. No. We don't do healing. "They were sore displeased." Boy, how would you like to have these guys be your leaders? "And they said unto him, 'Do you hear what these say?' And Jesus said unto them," this is like touche. Have you never read? "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have perfected faith." You know what Jesus is saying here? Have you never read? Put down all of your commentaries about the Bible. When was the last time you just read the Bible and let God speak to you? What do you think? Have you never read? Of course they read it. They read it. They read it up here, but not here. You don't read the Bible with your head. You read the Bible with your heart. If you read it with your head, it'll just fill you and me with enough information to be dangerous, to win an argument. Read it with your heart. lion roars. So, this is what Jesus is doing. Keep in mind, before the next event in the temple. So he goes out, verse 12, coming from Bethany. He was hungry, sees a fig tree, having leaves. He came, if haply he may find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. And his disciples heard it. Keep that in mind for a couple of weeks here. Now, keep in mind that in the scripture, not all the time, but many times, the fig tree is used as a symbol for what? The nation of Israel. Hosea 9:10, Joel 1:7. There's an interesting note in the ESV Study Bible that says, since the fruit of the fig tree begins to appear, about the same time as the leaves, or a little after, the appearance of leaves in full bloom should have indicated that fruit in the form of green figs was already growing. Jesus' actions here have symbolic importance, signifying the hypocrisy of all who have the appearance that they are bearing fruit, but in fact are not. How many times do we find Jesus saying to a religious group, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, what? Hypocrites. You know, we can very easily fall into that group. We can very easily fall into that group. They were a group of people who honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from them. They had the appearance, the outward appearance, of being holy and righteous, but inwardly, they were wicked. You see, that's where fruit is born, inwardly. Jesus said you can tell a tree by its fruit. So he curses the fig tree. Hold that thought for a couple of weeks. We'll get back to it. And so in verse 15, and so they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Isn't it interesting? Now Jesus comes into the temple. And the place where this incident took place, the location was the area known as the Court of the Gentiles. And that was meant to be a place for the Gentiles to come. It was supposed to be a place that was quiet. It was supposed to be a place where prayer was made. But you have to understand that by this point in time, the religious hierarchy had set up this system. If you went to Passover, you would bring a sacrifice with you, a lamb or some animal. And what was happening was when you brought the animal, you would bring it to the priests and they would inspect the animal. And if the animal was deemed unclean, you were left with no other option but to exchange your coinage for the proper coinage that was inflated hugely, and you would have to buy one of their animals to be able to complete the sacrifice. Now, the amazing thing about these crooks is that the animal that they deemed to be unacceptable, they would give to the next person who brought theirs, who brought their unacceptable sacrifice. And you know what was happening? These guys were getting rich. These guys were getting wealthy. I mean, these guys were flying around in jets. These guys had mansions, yachts, little islands. Aren't you glad that that doesn't happen today? Oh, by the way, when a worshiper came to the temple and wanted to offer up a sacrifice to God, the legitimate priest, listen carefully, the legitimate priest would inspect the offering, not the worshiper. Here's how this ties in. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are deemed justified and righteous in the sight of God, because our great God has inspected the sacrifice, not you. That's good news. So by this point in time, this sacred place was this commercialized public market. Jesus said, look at verse 17. Let's read this together. Verse 17. I'm going to play like Amplified Bible here, but not Amplified Bible. I'm just going to say some things and then tell me if it reads. He says, he taught them and says in verse 17, is it not written, my house should be called by all nations a house of concerts, a house of bingo. I'm changing my email tonight. A house of rituals. You know what Jesus said? What have you guys done to my Father's house? What have we done? What have we done? Now, there may be a time and a place for concerts. And you may want to play bingo with your family during Christmas or at some but not here. Not here. Not here. It's be a house of prayer. So you're a temple, aren't you? You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. We're to be men and women of prayer. You ought to pray always without ceasing. Jesus was angry because the religious authorities were using a sacred place to exploit the people financially for their own ends. It's sad. It saddens me to see that happening today. And it happens. It happens. When religious leaders exploit the people of God financially in the name of Jesus, it provokes him to anger. It's not like it used to. It still does. 2 Peter 2 talks about how there were false prophets among the people. There will now be false teachers among you who will turn the people of God into merchandise. You're just an account number. So let's try to put these two incidents together. The fig tree and the cleansing of the temple. The fig tree represents the nation of Israel nationally. The cleansing speaks of the nation spiritually. Let's tie this together. Nationally at this time, Israel was fruitless. Spiritually, she was bankrupt. Why? Listen carefully. Because they were listening more to what their teachers taught from other books than what the Bible says. I thank God for my library. I thank God for you guys helping me build that library. You know how much help I need, and you've been a great help. But I want to tell you this morning, and I mean this with all my heart, I am a one-book man. And if it is written was good enough for my king, it's good enough for me. You can come up with whatever conclusion you want to come up about gender, religion, ism. I don't care. What does the Bible say? That's not hate speech. That's love speech. Jesus said, you're blind. He's weeping. So the scribes and Pharisees, they want to get rid of him. John 12 says this, beginning in verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. I love that verse because sometimes you're reading a verse going, huh, I don't get it. What does it mean? And then 2 years later, you go, oh, I got it. And so the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, what a bunch. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Oh, boy. Jesus is a threat to any religious system. Jesus is a threat to any religious leaders who want to lord over the people of God. You have one Lord, one Master, one King, one God, one Savior, and he is not any human leader. The best we can do is say, follow me as I follow Christ. That's it. He's your Master. He's your King. He's your leader. He's the one that we all follow. And so, here you've got things going on, and people who should have seen do not see. And people who didn't claim to see saw. Isn't it amazing? Is there a message there for you and me? Is there? Lord, open my eyes. Show me my blind spots. Show me where I have a perception of you that is not in harmony with who you really are. You see, because anytime we have a misperception of Jesus and pass that on, we can do great damage to people who are expecting something from Jesus that he has never promised. Have you ever been asked in this day and age where the Bible is questioned, the gospel is questioned? Ever been asked, why are you a Christian? I have. And I'm going to give you my answer. And I'll share it with you. And then you can email me if you like it before midnight when I change my email address. Why are you a Christian? I'll tell you why. Simple. Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why. In fact, I say this ashamedly. I even hesitate sometimes to identify myself as a Christian because that means all kinds of things for different people. I want to be identified as I'm a follower of Jesus Christ as he is presented in the Holy Bible. Last week, Pastor Ben challenged us from Matthew 16. Jesus is up at Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And of course, they all gave answer. Well, they say you're this person, that person, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter probably just, right? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, talk about the ego deflator. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal that. You know, he's the same Peter. You're not that bright. Oh, no. He said, Raymond, you're not that bright. Tony, you're not that bright. Joe, you're not that bright. Dom, you're not that bright. This isn't like 1 + 1 = 2. This is divine revelation. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And upon that rock, I will build my church. Let every pastor, elder, deacon, whatever, realize the church belongs to Jesus Christ, not us. I will build my church, not you. You'll destroy it. I will build it. How do you and I enter the kingdom? All right, let me back up here. I'm setting you up, Tony, Joe, Vic. I'm setting you up. Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Let me ask this. What's the gospel? What's the gospel? All right, here it is. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You say, don't you have to repent? Don't you have to believe? That's the response. I said, how do you get in? You believe the gospel. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. Christ was buried and rose again on the third day for your sins according to the scriptures. That is what saves you. Jesus saves you. A system doesn't save you. You don't save yourself. And even when you repent, the depth of your repentance will never be perfect. It's Christ. People have said, oh, the gospel is the ABCs of the Christian life. It is the Alpha and Omega of the Christian life. It is the very answer for every issue, every problem, every need. Christ is the answer. Amen. That's why Jesus said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. But then you have to respond, and you will, with one or two ways. You will either be attracted or there will be animosity. That's always the two reactions to the salt and life, light of God's word. You will either be attracted by it or hate it. Today is the day of salvation. And maybe there are some of you today that are here that have never, let me ask you, do you believe the gospel? I'm not asking you if you agree. Do you believe it? Embrace it. Own it. When you do, the lion wakes up. Roar. If you've never believed it, I'd like you to come up and pray with some of these men afterwards. I'm not asking you if you know the facts in your head. Satan does. He's not going to be singing in heaven, worthy is the Lamb, in your heart. Today is the day. Today is the day. And maybe there's an area in your life like mine. There's a lot of fig leaves in my life. They appear to be something, but they're not what they really are. God, change me on the inside. And the way things are looking in the world, I don't know about you, I'm not going to set a day or the hour, but I'll tell you what, I think that we're going to be seeing the triumphal entry soon and very soon. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His
holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, We invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.